All right. This is Connections Over Coffee. No, it isn't. This is Everyone Communicates, You Connect. See, there you go. Yeah. I had Connections Over Coffee on the brain because I just talked with a gal right before this. This is Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. We are learning how to do our own masterminds as well as doing a mastermind as we're on the call. So our purpose is twofold. Number one, to show folks how to do a mastermind and then to actually do one in front of them so they can practice. And we take turns being the facilitator. I did the first 5 sessions, Mason did 5 sessions, and now Angela is doing 5 sessions. And we have Jennifer also with us today, and Linda. Hi, Linda. And we have Elise. So we've got a nice crew this morning. On session one, I kind of set the framework of how you do a mastermind and what a mastermind is. And then the facilitator, whoever that might be, covers chapter one of the book, Everyone Communicates, You Connect. And that book is written by John Maxwell. And we just do chapters 1 and 2, and then we jump over and do chapters 6 and 7. And then we tidy it all up at the very end on session 5 and tie all of that together. And so on session 2, we talked all about how to invite people to come to your mastermind. And then, of course, the facilitator covers chapter 2 in the book. And then on session 3, we talk about how to price our masterminds. And then the facilitator covers chapter 6. And then on session 4, we talk about how to launch. And so today we're going to talk about how to launch, and the facilitator, which is Angela this round, is going to cover chapter 7. Now, the reason we jump from chapter 1 and 2 over to 6 and 7 is because the book has 10 chapters and a 10-week session, because we only meet once a month, kind of takes up the whole year. And if we can limit it down to 5 sessions to complete our mastermind, we can get 2 facilitators practicing every year that way. And so that's why we like to do a little shorter mastermind version. Now, the statistics on that tell us that if you're doing a mastermind, your group doesn't really start to gel and start to really connect with each other until you're in about session 5. And that's why whenever you're doing your own mastermind, you want to have at least 5 sessions, because the first session folks are wondering, you know, is this for me? The second one, they start to feel a little more comfortable with the material, and they start to find some folks in the mastermind that they feel they can connect with. And by the 3rd and 4th one, they're looking forward to jumping onto the mastermind because they get to see those folks that they're starting to resonate and connect with. And by 5, they're hoping it doesn't end. And the reason that you want to do that is because then somewhere around session 4 or 5 is when then you can make your offer. If you're doing a free mastermind as you part of your funnel, if you will, then you can segue into a paid mastermind and go a little deeper into a particular topic. Now, for those of you that wonder how that works, what I did when I first started my academy is I would do a free 5-week mastermind on whatever the topic was. So let's say that the topic is blogging. I would do a free 5-week mastermind on blogging. And at the end of that 5 weeks, I had basically shaken down that group to a core number of folks that said, we want to go on. We want to go forward. We don't want this to end. We want to continue to learn how to blog. And so then I would then make an offer, because see, that free mastermind that I did was at the top of my funnel, picture a funnel. And that's where they enter the funnel, at the top of the funnel. And they'd say, I'm going to try this out. Then they go a little deeper. Then they go a little deeper. Well, you know, some of your folks say this isn't for me. And by the time you get down to the bottom of that funnel, then you have that core group that says, wow, this is for me. And so then you can start charging and you can say, okay, I'm going to do a mastermind on blogging and it's going to be, you know, $47 for a 5-week session, or $197, or whatever price point. And we talked about pricing last time, but it's whatever price point that you're comfortable with, that you want to start with, and you can start monetizing then your masterminds. Then from the masterminds, once you're doing the masterminds, you can actually start creating content material. And so, for example, I have a mastermind for folks that are doing real estate. And every time something comes up, it's a trigger for me to write a chapter on that in the course. And so I use the platform Teachable, and that was my decision to go with Teachable. There's 101 platforms out there. You can use Kajabi, you can use Thinkific, several of the websites. If you're a WordPress person, you can put your courses right in WordPress. So there's all kinds of platforms that you can use, but I chose Teachable. And so as my masterminds would unfold and someone would have a question, and I'll give you an example, my one gal said to me, what do you think about investing in a syndicate? And I'm thinking, I don't even know what that is. So I did all my research and I created a whole chapter in my course about syndication, about real estate syndication, because I said, okay, that's a question that came up. So if one person had that question, obviously other folks have that question as well. And so as I was putting together my course material, and again, now, your course material, don't be confused. Whenever you're creating something, you can choose whether you want it to be at the top of your funnel, whether you want it to be a freebie, whether you want it to be your first level price point, your core price point, or your top price point. It doesn't matter. It just depends on you and what you like to do. So I will give you an example of that as well. I do these free meetups like this one at the top of my funnel. This is how folks tap in. They get to know, like, and trust me. And then at that point, I have a course, and I tell them you can pay for this course, and that's my next price point. So if you don't really want to spend a lot of money, but you want the information, you can simply just buy the course, and it gives you all the information. From there, they can get into the paid mastermind. The paid mastermind is where we go a little deeper, and we work. It's my masterminds are kind of a hybrid between a group coaching / mastermind all rolled into one. And so that's my paid. And then from there, they could go on down to a higher price point coming down that funnel, and they could actually work with me one-on-one. And that's a little bit higher price point. And then finally, my grand finale is because I'm all about passive income and freestyle living. And my grand finale is then they can actually do trips with us. And our first trip is coming up June 25 for anybody that's interested in that trip. And some of my mastermind folks are actually going to be a speaker at an event in Southern Florida. And so we are going to Southern Florida to support her with her first onstage speaking gig. And that's one of our trips. So anyway, you kind of see how that works as a funnel, and you can then do your price points all the way down, you know, your free offers, your first level, second level. Anyway, all of this, again, I discuss in a group called Build a Better Business. And there is, yes, a free meetup once a month. And then there is, of course, the course and the mastermind. And I do private coaching for my folks that are in the Build a Better Business. And then we're supporting this gal by doing a trip with her doing a speaking gig. So that gives you an idea of how to lay out your business as you're putting together your business. And there's all kinds of variations. There's no wrong way. I don't want any of you then to think, oh my gosh, I've been doing it all wrong. Let me scrap everything I've done so far and start over. I don't want you to think that, because I just want you to try to just embrace what I'm talking about and think about how I can put together this systematic approach of a free offer, and then my first level, second level, third level, finally, you know, your grand finale. And then once you kind of know how you want to lay out your business, then from there, you can start thinking about your pricing and how you want to price all of that. And you might try something free that maybe doesn't bring in any traffic. And so you might choose to do something different. These free meetups for me seem to, because folks get to know me. And so that's why the free meetups to me is my favorite. And so the way that I launch that is I just start off with a free meetup. That is the perfect way to launch the business. Now, if your business is something other than where you want to have a group type conversation and you're just selling products, then you're going to be putting your business together a little differently. Your free offer is going to be maybe one of your products, and not necessarily a course or a coaching or a free meetup or something like that. So that's a little, it's actually laid out a little differently, but the formula is the same. The formulas are the same. So anyway, we're going to talk a little bit today, again, about Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. Connecting increases your influence in every situation. Experts say that we see 35,000 images a day, and most of us speak an average of 16,000 words a day, which is a 300-page book every week. Yeah, really. And connecting can make or break you. Connecting with your boss, with your friends, with your spouse. Connecting is ability to identify with folks and relate to them. It has to do with relationships with your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers. And according to Harvard Business Review, the number one criteria for advancement and promotion for professionals is an ability to communicate effectively. So that means connecting. And I want to just give you a little bit of a background. Women for Women is actually sponsoring this. And what that is a group of gals that, again, had meetups. And once the pandemic hit, they switched to virtual. And so they're the ones that actually helped promote and launch this particular meetup on meetup.com. And so Women for Women is our sponsor organizations. And so I want to go around and find out, just mention where everybody is. I think we all know each other, but again, I'm in Canal Winchester, just rolled in from Florida in the middle of the night. So, but I'm here, my eyes are open. As Mark likes to say, are my eyes open? I can't tell from this side. but anyway, I'm feeling pretty rested. We were on the road 19 hours because of all of the construction. And yeah, we just sat for 3 hours in Atlanta on the freeway. Couldn't get off, couldn't do anything. Thank goodness I had a full tank of gas. So anyway, I am now in Canal Winchester, Ohio. So Mason, how about you? Tell us, I want you to tell us your name and what it is that you are trying to put together as a business and then where you're located.
Okay, so I'm Mason Van Dyke, and I am located in Newark, Ohio, my back patio. Enjoying the weather out here. And I am working towards creating a way of helping people connect better through their stories, understanding their stories and connecting with others through that. So that's my take on connecting with folks, is through your story, because everyone has a story, even if you don't recognize it or don't see it.
Perfect.
Yeah, I got all three questions. Name.
Yes. I love it. Perfect. 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 Mason is also my co-host or co-mod on this particular call, on this whole vein of Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. He is always going to be my co-host, co-mod there. And I also want to share for those of you that are going to do some sort of a meetup and use Zoom, just so you know, once you open your Zoom call, you should always choose someone, if you haven't ahead of time, choose someone to be your co-host or co-mod, because if for some reason you get bumped off of the call, Zoom makes the very first person that tapped in your co-mod. And if they're not familiar with your format, they might be sitting there going, now, what do I do? She disappeared and I don't know what to do with all these people. So assign someone ahead of time. So if you get bumped off, that person can continue. And here is why, because Zoom requires that you either have someone let you into the meeting or you have a passcode. Well, I chose to do the waiting room and have, you know, and let folks into the meeting instead of the passcode. I don't know about you, but every time there's a passcode, I'm like, where'd I put that passcode? And I'm searching all over for it. So that way the host can let you in. Well, if your co-host doesn't, if you don't have one assigned and they don't know to let you back in, you can't get back into your own meeting. So your co-host has to know. So Mason, if I get bumped off, let me back in. Oh, goodness. Angela is going to be our facilitator moderator today, but we're going to circle back around to her at the end. But Angela, go ahead and tell us again your name and what business you would like to launch and where you're located.
Okay. Again, like I said, my name is Angela. But anyway, I am in Huber Heights, Ohio, which is about 22 miles north of Dayton, Ohio.
Okay.
And my goal is to launch a nonprofit, and it has to do with transforming relationships between mother and daughter, because I found through research and also through personal experience with friends that that's a very tumultuous relationship, and also I want women, girls to be friends, to be friends, to be have understanding, to have harmony, and so I decided, you know what, maybe I can been praying about it, and I can like a nonprofit to transform the lives of women and girls at any age, so they can have a harmonious relationships at all stages of their life.
Very nice. Thank you, Angela. And Angela is going to be our facilitator once we get rolling this morning. So we'll come back to Angela as well. And Jennifer, how about you?
My name is Jennifer. I reside in Canal Winchester. I am a social media manager and virtual assistant, kind of shifting more to the social media management portion of my business. I'm also in the process of creating a course to teach new businesses how to kind of run and manage their social media themselves, because as you know, it's kind of expensive. And it's definitely a high cost for brand new businesses just coming into the world. So I'm creating a course that will teach new businesses how to implement social media, kind of brand their business, set up their website, how to run an audit on their own pages, their own websites, things like that.
And for those of you that don't know, Jennifer is my daughter. So mother-daughter team here today. So welcome, Jennifer. Yeah, she was. Yeah, I was in contact with her on this long road trip home because I have a full house checking in tonight, and I had guests while I was gone, and my rooms aren't ready. So I'm like, Jennifer, if I get stuck, can you help me flip rooms for the bed and breakfast? So anyway, but I'm here. So perfect, Debbie. How about you?
My name is Debbie Marks. I'm located about 20 miles southeast of Columbus, near Buckeye Lake. And I am building many avenues in one group, going green, organic farming. I also do a meetup group, Fireside Chat, on the second Friday of every month. Kathy is my
Co-host,
co-host, co-host. And I've started being part of what is called the Turban Project, which is making sewing four different types of hats and also crocheting for cancer patients. So that's about it. That's enough.
Very nice, Debbie. Very nice. Linda, how about you?
Hi, my name is Linda Thomas. I am southwest of Pittsburgh. I'm about a half hour from the Ohio border, so pretty close to at least your state, if not where you are. I'm the founder of the Legacy of Love Project, and that is a group course where I walk people through creating their perfect end of life plan so they can be a blessing to their loved ones instead of a burden.
Very nice, Linda. Thank you so much. And Elise, how about you?
Good morning. Hold on, let me see if this works. Sorry, we're trying out the new background. We're trying out the new background. I don't know how that's going to go. Good morning, everyone. My name is Elise. I am located in Westerville, Ohio. And I am a virtual assistant who just helps small businesses and small business owners to get rid of some of their tasks and get back to what matters. And I'm really not digging this thing. I do apologize. Okay. But I have really just been working to build that business. It's something new for me. I just have I have a background in coaching and things like that. So ever since I met Kathy, like I was really inspired, and just being in groups like this, I really just try and elevate my business and learn how to live a passive and freestyle life. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Elise. Perfect. Perfect. Now I see that you're using a virtual background, and are you not liking it when you move around and you can see where your background's trying to catch up with you? Is that what you're not liking about it?
I switched it. We talked about it in that last group where I had the little, it was on that side. It was like the little phone thing, and I wasn't having this much trouble with it the last time, but it might be my computer chair is kind of close to the color that I'm wearing. So it's not picking up just me. It's picking up pieces of my chair. So that's what that is.
Now, do you have a green screen behind you?
I do not have a green screen behind me. Currently, I have a pile of clothes behind me that we're not going to talk about, but we're going to get rid of that. And
I get it. Now, my point is this. If you had a green screen, and this is for everyone that wants to do Zoom calls and use a virtual background, if you put up a green screen first behind you, then pop your virtual background in, it does not do that bleed over.
Okay.
Actually, one more step.
Go ahead, Mason.
You can see them on, they're on sale all the time on Amazon. I bought one because my normal office is my basement. So I don't have a pile of clothes. I have my pile of stuff. Do the green screen. And then under virtual background, there's a little square that says check if you have a green screen background. Mm-hmm. If you don't check that, it still has the same blurring effect. Check that little block. Kathy, it took me hours to figure out where that block was. That's why I'm interrupting. It drove me nuts.
Well, thank you for that.
I had something. I'd like to add something whenever you're done speaking.
Oh, yes.
In that same vein, the checkbox is really fabulous. And you may notice that the seat behind me is green. That's because I had the exact same problem that Elise is having. And you can go to a fabric store or Walmart's fabric section, pick a green that's kind of like a green screen color. And even if you don't want to use it all the time, maybe just when you're doing a virtual background, you can clip it or pin it onto your chair. Because no matter how fabulous your green screen is, if you have that chair behind you, it's there all the time. And the problem I had is I have relatively short hair, and it looked like all I had was hair on top of my head because everything down here disappeared with my dark chair. So this just becomes part of the background once you're using virtual.
Great points. I have spent about an hour
playing with these things. Literally, I've spent about an hour playing with different backgrounds, green screens. I call people to say, hey, how does this look? So, and I will tell you right now, I felt really goofy and silly doing it. I admit this up front. But now that I've done that, I have certain backgrounds I know I can go to that work, I think work well. So that hour, which is actually a long time when you're playing with this stuff, paid off. So just lesson learned from my pain.
Good points. And we're all here to learn, because especially if we're going to do an actual mastermind, most of us will probably be using Zoom because we're comfortable with that. But not only are we comfortable, that all of our attendees are comfortable and they'll be more apt to tap in. I've been in some other groups that are using other platforms, and there's a learning curve there, and they're not my favorite. I love the groups, but it's just so hard to maneuver the platforms that I sometimes catch myself not as excited to jump into that group. So, because Zoom is so much easier. So that's why we're bringing these things up as we notice them, so that all of us can learn as we're doing our own masterminds. So on chapter one, with Everyone Communicates, Few Connect, we talked about finding common ground, making our communication simple, capturing people's interest, and being authentic. And then in chapter two, what folks want to know, we talked about the folks want to know, do you care for me? Can you help me? Can I trust you? And we talked about that. In chapter six, we talked about connectors connect on common ground. What do you dream about? What do you sing about? And what do you cry about? Or what is it that breaks your heart? And so today we're on chapter seven, and it's connectors do the difficult work of keeping it simple. And so with that, I am going to turn it over to Angela. Angela, off to you. Oh, you're on mute, sweetie. There you go.
Thank you. thank you. Chapter 7 is so interesting. I can really relate to it. The most important thing that I got out of the chapter was this quote that said, to be simple is to be great, by Ralph Waldo Emerson. And I'd like to tell you a story real quick. Like I said, it says chapters on connectors do the difficult work of keeping it simple. So several years ago, I was told that my granddaughter was bad. Now, I have never experienced her being bad, didn't know she was bad, but my daughter-in-law called me and told me that your granddaughter is bad. So that she said at school, the teachers always give her a call and said that, that she's bad. She's just bad. Even my grandkids told me that she was bad also. Anyway, she came to live with me one summer, and I just sat her down and I back up. They said they had done all kinds of things, processes to cure her of her behavior. They tried putting her in a corner for long periods of time. They sent her to the office and let her just sit there. They took away stuff from her, but she was still bad. So a few months later, she came to visit me, and I still didn't see how my grandchild was bad. So I just asked her. I said, Zoe, are you bad? And she said yes. And I'm like in shock, because I was in shock that she knew that she thought she was bad. And so I just told her, it's impossible for you to be bad because you're my grandchild. So then what I did was I went to the store. Since nothing they did could change her behavior, I went to the store and I told her to pick out 2 t-shirts. And so we bought the little t-shirts home and stuff. And I took her to her room, and I printed the words, the letters BAD on the t-shirt, back and front on both shirts. I drew a circle around the word and I X'd it out. And I said, look, Zoe, you're not bad anymore. Grandma crossed it out. And she goes, oh, I'm not bad. I'm like, no. She calls her mother, her dad, her siblings, and she says, guess what? They're like, what? I'm not bad anymore. Within a split second, that simple thing changed. She was no longer bad. And that is what I got out of the chapter about making things simple. So my and even when I was in the military and stuff, what I would do to change the environment of the airmen, their learning capacity, was to not give them something to do. My philosophy was to tell them, your job is to make me look good, or your job to make me be a better person. So whatever you have to do that, I'm fine with that. And I appreciated them. And it works so much better than going through all the rigmarole and the to-do list and all that kind of good stuff. So, Mike, with all that being said, my question for you today is, I have a couple of questions, but the first one is, have you ever gone through a long, drawn out process, either teaching your kids something, even teaching your spouses something, and or at work, to find out that you weren't getting through? And were you able to find simplicity through all of that? find a better way of doing it to make it simple, so the who you're trying to get your message across to, they were better able to understand it, just like my granddaughter Zoe.
I did want to ask a question, yeah. If I may.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Are you asking for me to engage and just tell you a time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Can you tell me a time where were trying to explain something, or you were in the place where you were speaking, and you noticed that the audience had like a blank stare because what you were saying was maybe too complicated or too complex?
Absolutely. One of the things that I have learned coaching volleyball. So for those of you who don't know, I was a volleyball coach. I have coached all ages, anything from middle school up. I can't go under middle school because those middle school children, they need a lot more help than I can give them at this point. But coaching volleyball and understanding the difference between a college athlete's brain and their functioning ability to a freshman or eighth graders' ability to understand. So through coaching, I've had to understand how to have that same message. So I am asking of you, not perfection, I want you to be yourself, and I want you to be your best. I want you to be your best. I tell my athletes that I can't ask anything more than you doing your best, giving me 100% of whatever you have that day, regardless of what that is. And I have had where, you know, when I came back from coaching college and I was coaching club, you know, how you talk to a 18, 19, 20 year old who's out on their own, they're not with their parents, they show up to practice late because they were hungover and they were drinking, whereas the child is late to practice because mom and dad didn't get off of work on time. You know, you have to change your approach, but you still have to have that loving, caring message. And just like you were talking about with your granddaughter, which I thought that's a great idea, because what we don't understand is sometimes we put that into children's minds that you are a certain way, and because I believe you're this, then that's the expectation that you have. And you just changing that narrative for her and her understanding, I'm not bad anymore. That's not who I am. I think that was wonderful. But in regards to your question, understanding that I have to talk to my athletes, my children, the people that I work with in different ways, and understanding how to hone that message in to make sure that they're not only seeing what I'm saying, but we're also on the same page, that the information is digestible, and that at some point they can teach me something as well. So your granddaughter is going to be able to go back and be like, no, grandma said that I'm not bad anymore. And that's just not what it's going to be. I want to have a different narrative. So I think that was wonderful, and that message can be taken throughout every situation. So thank you. I yield my mic.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate what you just said. Thank you. Linda, have you ever had a situation that seemed so complicated and you had to figure out how to make it simple so people would change their way of thinking too?
I think I'm constantly trying to make things more simple. And one example is, if you're a person who has been a reader and has a reasonably good sized vocabulary, you can lose people very quickly. And you feel like I picked just the right word to express the thing, but they don't know the word, so you actually didn't communicate at all. Mm-hmm. So that would be one example that I would use. And I heard someone say recently that they felt that William Shakespeare was possibly the smartest person ever. And they said, you know, his ideas are enduring. You could read his works now and get so much from them. But they also said, if you take a look at the words he used, and I forget the percentage that he used, I'll just make up a number and say 80% of the words he uses are single syllable words. And yet what he communicates is so powerful and so effective. So that's been something I've been trying to pay attention to.
Oh, that's good. That's a good idea. I like that. I'm gonna use that too. Okay, Mason. Can you answer that question? Did you have anything to add to that?
I don't have any specific examples. I know that for me, I have to really focus on trying to be concise. I would much rather ramble all over the place. I would rather give you all the data and history on something. And I know that, and this is just, it's a quirk I have. So I know that I've learned over time. And I learned this not because I'm that smart. I've learned because people told me. So I've learned, I've got some bad business examples where, hey, get to the point. So I don't have any good, I don't have any brief examples, but I've learned that I personally have to focus on that because I would rather give you everything under the sun than just the yes or no answer. So I have to do that. I have to focus on that when I'm answering questions or things like that.
You know, I can relate to that because I have a challenge in such that I love details. And when I'm talking in details, I always have to go to the military, the KISS method, keep it simple. Well, I would say keep it simple, sister. But I'm a stickler for detail. So I can definitely relate to what you're saying is be concise and keep it simple. Thank you. Okay, Debbie. Yes, thank you.
Well, the story you told was very interesting. I have always grown up with not being able to explain myself, not able to use the right word. So as I grew older, I tried to use bigger words, you know, so that I would fit in. And even now when I try to do that, I can't make my point. So I lose people, you know, my husband, anybody. And it's with the story you said about bad. At the top of my paper, I put a little picture of a t-shirt and I made bad and I crossed it off. And next to it, I said, what would my shirt say? Oh. And it that kind of makes me wonder what would my shirt say? What word do I need to cross off so that I can move on? Mm-hmm.
I like that. That is absolutely fantastic. I love that. Oh my goodness. And I can relate to that too, because when I felt like that, I couldn't, didn't know certain words or also notice I talk fast. So I was write things down, like on my paper right now, I put down the word slow. It gives me a clue to slow down. But what I would do, I would be totally quiet, withdrawn. I wouldn't say anything at all. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, I can definitely relate to what you're saying too. And thanks for sharing that. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thanks. And I love that thing about what does your t-shirt say? Wow. It's like, but Kathy, did you have Mason, did you want to say something? I thought you.
No, your phrasing, what does your t-shirt say, gave me an idea for a really cool article to write.
Yay.
Sorry.
I love how great minds work together. I love it. Yes. Yes. I can't wait to see what Debbie puts on her t-shirt and what article Mason writes. Angela, that was a great share about your granddaughter. I love that. For me, I'm all about writing courses. And so I found that what helps me is to start either with an acronym or to start with kind of a series of steps. And when I write a course, you know how they say it's a lot easier if you do your outline first. I try to formulate my outline in a series of steps or in an acronym. A perfect example, when I wrote my real estate for real estate investors, I decided that my course was going to be the six F's of real estate, the finding. And see, now follow how this tells a story. The finding of the real estate, the funding, the fixing, the flipping, the filling, and finally, what is your freedom number? And so what it does is by putting that systematically in order, it helps those investors kind of see the story. Like, I have to find it first. Once I find it, I have to figure out how I'm going to fix it. Once I fund it, then I have to figure out how to fix it. Then I have to figure out, am I going to flip it or fill it? And then how many of these do I have to do to have my freedom number? And so the six F's of real estate kind of tell a story, and it's a very systematic approach. And it lets the folks that are tapping into that course see that there's a system. And so I guess my answer to your question is to create a system. That's probably what I do whenever I'm teaching, whether I'm doing a mastermind or writing a course or doing one-on-one coaching, is that I go at it with a system. So hopefully that helps. Back to you, Angela.
Yes, it does. And I like how this Zoom call, everything flows together and it's relatable, and it's like we're connecting. Connecting, because I do things in acronyms, and I was just giving, not really teaching yet or doing classes or, but I had like a little group to get a group, and it was of single moms and their daughters, and I was telling them about having, like, you have a business. And you might be the CEO of your business. So you are the chief executive in chief executive officer. And so I was like, as a single mom, you are also a CEO of your family. And I said, you know what, instead of saying all that stuff in the business, because your family is a business, I changed it to, you can change everything overnight. And I said, it's up to you. You are the CEO. You're changing everything overnight. You want a better behavior, change it, and you can do it overnight. So I can relate to the acronyms and all that. So thank you, appreciate that. So with that, I actually, I feel like I'm complete, and I hope that you guys are complete, but I just do want to say that the biggest thing about this chapter about being a connector and keeping it simple, you do have to kind of repeat yourself too, whether you're a boss, a supervisor, or parents. You have to repeat yourself to your kids and then have them repeat it back also. And I used to think that was a bad thing, but in order for, I have found through experience that when I repeat myself, people seem to get it. And hopefully through doing that, they'll also, it's more important to understand as well. But like, again, like I'm gonna say it again, I'm gonna repeat myself again, where in the text where it says, to be simple is to be great. And I absolutely love that, and I hope you guys like that too, by Ralph Waldo Emerson. And thank you.
Can I interject here on the issue of repeating yourself? No, I'm really bad at that. Mm-hmm. I'll say the same thing 10 times over and I have to work on it. Mm-hmm. Okay. I have to work on it. But what I've learned over time for me is mm-hmm. sometimes, you know, in fact, I did hear, I'll either interrupt, which is a really bad habit, mm-hmm. or I repeat things 20 times. Because mm-hmm. Linda may not have heard me the first 19 times, so I need to tell Linda one more time. Well, what I've learned is, and I'm adopting, I'm getting better, is I'll actually use, hey, I need to repeat this here. And I'll use that phrasing. It's one, it keeps me in check. Two, it helps to provide the emphasis. You know, like if I said something, I said, well, I need to repeat this here because of, and then repeat it. That way you can repeat it and you draw attention to it, but it's not you, you don't beat them over the head, but you're kind of drawing attention to it. It's almost like a verbal foot stomp. You know, like in school, the teachers would say, you should know this for the test. Knock, knock. You know, they tap their foot as a hint. So it's kind of verbally like that. That's something, it's a trait I have. Sometimes good, sometimes not, but.
You know what, Mason, I'm in agreement with you because what I have done, instead of repeating myself, I'll have someone else repeat it for me. I'm like, did you repeat that now? So they're, I'm not doing it. They're actually repeating it. So I'm like, okay, cool. Like that. So yeah, I am too. I'm a repeater. So,
but can I add a comment?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, Linda.
Yeah. I think so. We're all educated people invested in growth and all of that. And sometimes we think that if we keep it simple, that means we're not smart. You know, only a simpleton would say things simply, but actually, as the title of this chapter indicates, it takes a lot of hard work to make something very clear and very simple. And there's a quote that I've really loved by Leonardo da Vinci, which says that simplicity is the ultimate sophistication.
Oh, yeah.
So it takes a very smart person, a very clear thinker to mm-hmm. distill something down to its essence and make it very receivable by the other person.
Yeah, thank you. And you know, that brings the point. It's hard work. It's hard work. Keep making something simple. I mean, simple and concise so people can understand it. That's challenging and it takes hard work. And just, to benchmark up what you just said in the book, everyone communicates but few connect. There's a quote in there that says that the emphasis in education is rarely placed on communicating ideas simply and clearly. Instead, we are encouraged to use more complicated words and sentence structures to show off our learning and literacy. Instead of teaching us how to communicate as clearly as possible, our schooling in English teaches us how to fog things up. It even implants a fear that if we don't make our writing complicated enough, we'll be considered uneducated. So that just goes right into what you said, and it is, it's so true.
Yeah. There is a book that I've been reading with a group of people, and it talks about mindset, but it was written mid-century, last century. Mm-hmm. And the actual message, I feel, is obscured by the imprecise language. And so he sounds like a smart guy, I guess, but I have found that it almost doesn't matter how valuable what he's trying to say is, because it's pretty much buried. Mm-hmm. I really prefer a clear style.
Good, good, good. Thank you.
Linda, that's a very good point. Yeah. And I would like to add, over the years, no matter what position I have or what job I take, I end up being the trainer somehow. Mm-hmm. And I've had supervisors tell me, and they say, because you get it, you can hone in, if you will, on where the other person is in their knowledge, and you start with where they are. And that's why we always make you the trainer. And I think that that's an important aspect as well, and even in just general conversation. I think sometimes we can talk over someone's head, but as soon as we get an idea of where they are in the conversation, in the topic, you know, what their knowledge is of the topic, then I think it makes a difference on where we adjust our conversation to meet them where they are, instead of having them try to meet us where we are. And I'll go back and use my example of the real estate. I cater to newbies that are just getting started in investing. And that is especially true because I've been doing this for 25 years. And so once I start to talk with a newbie, and they don't really understand some of the lingo or where I'm going with things, you know, I'm talking to a seasoned investor and I'm talking to them about the ARV, and a new investor is kind of like, what does that mean? And so once I realize that I have a newbie in the conversation, you know, a real newbie that doesn't know even the terms, that allows me to really bring my conversation to meet them where they are and explain what some of those things are, because the point is not to try to impress them. The point is to try to inspire them. And it's not inspirational when someone talks over your head. You're not inspired by their conversation at all. So anyway, I'll just add that to the mix.
It comes down to understanding your audience. And like, for example, I'm a details guy, so I'm business. You ask me to give a presentation, show me the raw data. I'll love it. I'll eat it up. I love the raw data. But you have to understand who your audience is. For example, if I am trying to explain something to, I'm going to pick on Debbie, that deals with supply chain management and the details of this and that, she's not going to want to know. I don't know if Debbie, I don't think Debbie has a supply chain background. So if I give Debbie all these infinite little details and metrics, I'm not going to connect with her. But if I give her the concepts, it's understanding my audience, you know, and even sometimes you need to ask. Don't be afraid to ask. If you're talking with someone, trying to connect with them, trying to relate with them, where they're at. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as you tell them why. It's not like, I'm just smarter. No, hey, you know, because, hey, I want to make sure I'm connecting with you. So understanding your audience, and there's nothing wrong with saying the word audience, because when you speak with someone, they're in effect your audience. My attempt to air quotes my little tablet here. Sorry. So then I'll start.
That's good. Thank you. And I would want to, it's funny how we're just thinking about things as we're moving along, but, even like we're part of a team. We're part of a team at home and our families. We're part of a team at work. We're part of a team at church. We're part of a team in sports. But as part of a team, we're even part of a team in society, helping to make the world a better place. Where we go, what we do, we are part of a team. And with that being said, you are only as strong as your weakest link. So it's important for us to practice, to make sure everybody is on board, and to make sure everybody understands and that we communicate on the weakest links level. So they'll also get it. That'll make us stronger and better people and better teammates, better classmates, better parents, better spouses. And I just thought about that, and so thank you for you guys piercing a hole in my brain and thinking about that. And thank you for contributing today. I really appreciate your shares.
Angela, I have a question.
Yes.
A moment ago, you were reading out of the book. What page was that on?
It's our book that we're reading by John C. Maxwell, but the page is page 150.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, for those of you that have the book, you're welcome to follow along. If you do not have the book, there is a Cliff Note version, which just gives you an overview of the entire book. And the link to the book and to the Cliff Note version, both of those can be found in our meetup.com group and also in our Facebook group. And also on the replays under the Kathy Benner .com, you can scroll down to Everyone Communicates View Connect and click through. And on the replay page, you can also find the link for the to buy the book or to get the Cliff Notes for free. So I'll just toss that in there.
Thank you. And I appreciate all your shares and participating. And I'm going to turn it back over to Kathy.
Thank you so much. Yes, good job, Angela. Yay. Thank you for facilitating the call today. Yes, very good job. Linda is going to be our facilitator on our next five sessions. But Angela has one more session to facilitate, which is chapter 9. And that is kind of the chapter that ties everything together. And so again, if you go to the course, for those of you that want to take a turn facilitating, let me know, and I will give you a coupon link to get into the course for free. And the course actually lays out how to facilitate this particular book. And Linda, have I sent that to you yet? Okay, I will do that. I'm making myself a note. Send Linda the link to facilitate. Very good. I will make sure that I send that over to you. And it's just a coupon code. So when you sign into the course in my academy, it gives you kind of the breakdown of what we go through. And please make it your own. That's what the whole goal is. It's just kind of a guideline to help you facilitate it. If you have a vision on how you want to do it and take it a different direction, you're welcome to do that, because it's all about practicing facilitating masterminds and getting everyone in the group speaking. So that's the whole point.
Quick question. Just because sure, this is my first few months in here, will we do the same book again?
We are facilitating this same book because, again, it lets everybody see how others have done it, and it kind of compares and it gives you an idea of how you want to do it. But when you break away and to do your own personal mastermind, it's going to be on your subjects, on your book, your topics. This is just a way to practice facilitating, and everyone has the same material that way. Because again, we're talking about connecting, and some folks are going to pick it up and run with it. And some folks are going to be so nervous. They're going to want to have to see it two or three times with different facilitators. And then they go, ah, okay, now I think I can do that. And we're trying to inspire those that have never done anything like this to step up and take a turn facilitating a mastermind. And so it's helpful if we stay in the same material so that they can kind of see how each of us do it. And again, some of you are just tapping in and you haven't seen, but I have gone through the five sessions as the facilitator. And then Mason went through the five sessions as a facilitator. And now Angela is finishing up this. She has one more session. And then Linda will take a turn. And anyone else that's interested, let me know. And then the fun part is depending on the size of our group, we'll start over and I'll facilitate again and Mason will facilitate again. And we all get better because we see each other and we learn, tips and tricks every single time we go through the five sessions. And so we'll all just get better and better. And that's the whole point. So thank you for those questions. And Linda, I will definitely get that link out to you. Any other comments today before we go? Mason, did you have
a comment? I'm going to add it. Yes. It's also a good place to practice and talk about different things behind the scenes. For example, the technology with the lease and the idea of the green screen. I'll use me as an example. I tablet, great. I wanted to try it. So I'm sitting on my back porch and it's just sitting on my table. And I'll be honest, I can't stand how it's sitting here. I don't like the look that I'm looking down. So now I know I need to get a stand. So it's a little more like this. So it's a way for me to practice and try different things, and a safe space. And have some fun with it. If I do something goofy, yeah, we can laugh about it, but it's a good way to learn different things also. Like I said, when I said I spent that hour learning how to use a green screen, talking to different folks at work, to try these things because it's like, as goofy as it sounds, it then adds to your comfort. I have two or three virtual backgrounds now that I'm very comfortable. I put them on. I feel comfortable in, not self-conscious. But like I said, my normal office is in a basement. So it's developing your comfort on screen, talking with folks, and comfort with your technology. Kathy, hey, she realized she doesn't have to drag her laptop around anymore. Her phone, she buys a little stand, probably what, $20? Boom, yeah. Her phone's on a stand, it works great. I just looked up a stand for my tablet, $15 or $16 on Amazon, whatever it is. So trying different things, trying new things and practicing, this is a great form for that also.
Thank you for that, Mason. And also for those of you that know me and are in a couple of my other groups, I'm all about passive income. And so passive income is where you can do the work up front and then it just pays over and over and over, like, you know, making that investment and then collecting the dividends. But I like to be able to travel. That's one of the things that I love. And so I'm always looking for technology that goes with me. And I have discovered that doing my Zoom calls on a cell phone is just as easy, if not easier, than doing it on the actual tablet or laptop or whatever. And the only thing is that a lot of people try to hold their phone the whole time, or they try to prop it up on a, you know, on a vase on the table or whatever, which works. But I've discovered, just as Mason was saying, I've discovered that just having this little stand that I can just kind of travel everywhere with that. And it makes my phone stationary and not move around. Now I moved around a little bit today because I didn't have my screen up behind me when I first came on. I just sat down at my desk and put my phone and started the call. And then Mark came through in his bathrobe to make breakfast. So I put the screen up. So because my office is in my kitchen. So I put my screen up. And again, this is giving you a little kind of a peek behind the scenes on what goes on. And so if you have something, I have my screen, Linda has hers, you can see behind her. And if you have the green screen, then, or like Elise that has the pile of clothes, or Mason in his basement that has all of his stuff, you can kind of work around that once you understand your technology. And the more comfortable you are with your technology, then the more focused you can be on your call. Because then you're not, you know, trying to do double duty and think about, you know, how do I get the mute button on, and how do I bring somebody into the room, and how do I make somebody a co-moderator? And again, your phone is going to be a little different. And I had to practice, like Mason, I had to take some time and just open up a Zoom call with no one on it. And just click all over the place and get to know, where are these buttons? Where do I click? How can I, you know, do all of these things? And I just practiced and even put it on record and then played back the recording. And I did all of that just by myself on a Zoom call all by myself, just to get familiar with the technology. And so once you do that, then you'll be more familiar when you're in a situation if something goes wrong. And again, the reason I know that when you get bumped off a call, that Zoom automatically hands the facilitator, the moderator, excuse me, to the first person that signed on, is because I got bumped off a call and the first person that signed on didn't know to let me back in the room, and I couldn't get back into my own call. So you do learn those things. And that's why I mentioned that, because at the time you feel like, oh, this is a disaster, but it really wasn't. But it was so fun thinking about it, because once it happened, I went back, and we were pretty well to the end before it bumped me off. But what was fun about it was I went back and listened to the replay, and it was so cute, because the guy that had signed on first, the Zoom automatically made him the moderator, and he was like, what do I do? Where did she go? I mean, you could hear him, and everybody in the room was like, what? And he's like, she disappeared. What do I do? So they were talking among themselves, and I, you know, I was in the waiting room hanging up there, but he didn't know to hit the button to admit me into the room. And if you've not opened a Zoom call before, what happens if you choose the waiting room feature is the name of the person just pops up at the top of your screen, even on your phone, and it'll say, you know, Linda Thomas is in the waiting room. And then you have to hit the admit button to admit her in. That's all it is. But this person didn't know to let me back in. And so I'm in the waiting room just waiting, and I'm like, come on, somebody. I even tried finding a number to text them or to email them to say, please let me back, you know. And so it's what it was. But so you learn, and that's why I bring that up when I do a Zoom call, to make sure that you choose a facilitator to join, a co-mod, if you will. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we're at the top of the hour, and is Debbie? There any comments? Debbie, yes, go ahead.
Yes, one question. When each person takes over the moderator, do we do the same chapters, 1, 2, 6, 7, and 9?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, we're doing everything exactly the same, and we're keeping it at 5 sessions so that everyone gets a turn. The book itself has 10 chapters. You could, if you wanted, now you're welcome to actually use this book as your own mastermind if it fits with your content. You know, you can, you know, John Maxwell, you know, has put the book out there and has offered for folks to use it in a mastermind, which is why I'm using it. He's kind of licensed it to do that. And you could have a 10 session one because the book is 10 chapters. Okay. But anyway, I'm following his format, and he indicates if you want 5 sessions that these are the best 5 chapters, because it does cover the bulk of the material, and chapter 9 is a nice chapter that ties everything together. So, and that's why we're using, you know, the chapters that we're using, the 1, 2, 6, 7, and 9. Angela,
yes,
did you have a question?
Your cell phone holder, your stand, where did you get that from? Was it Amazon or was it?
Well, actually this one was a Christmas present for me because I'm on my phone all the time, and Mark got it for me for Christmas so it can sit next to my computer. Mm-hmm. And it's really quite perfect. I just pop my phone in it, and the way it stands up, the bottom of the holder has a little cutout so I can even have my charger plugged in. And that's the problem when you're on your phone or on your tablet, is that sometimes the angle that you want to set it is right where the charger goes in, and now you can't set it. It wants to wobble unless it's in a stand. And so that's why I like this one. What is the one? Now mine's a little expensive. What's the advertisement on television where you can get the floor mats and the cup holder?
WeatherTech.
Mm-hmm. WeatherTech. So mine is WeatherTech is what mine is, because he got me the cup holder and this, all of it is a package. But you can go on Amazon and find all kinds of stands for all different price points.
What kind is yours, Elise?
Omatron or something like that. But I did get this one off of Amazon. I think it cost me about $10-$15, and it has like the little port for me to put my watch on it as well. And that you can kind of just move it so that, like, if you're sitting it on something else and you just need that angle a little differently. One of the other things that I really enjoy, and I don't know where I put the daggone thing, but my business card holder actually works as one too. I don't know if you might have something like that on your desk. That's I really don't know where that thing is. My dog's probably stole it, to be honest. But yeah, it's just like the little business card holder. Now it doesn't fold or anything like that. So I would definitely recommend the Omatron or whatever. And it's done really well for me. And it's got like the, just like Kathy was saying, the little hole where you can have the your charger going through, have your watch on it. And I've seen a few more that also extend, because I also have my laptop on something that just kind of raises it, just because, of course, we tall girls have to make sure that our necks aren't slumped over. That was one thing I was always worried about.
Kind of like mine.
It's a thing. I just had to share. I was like, you know what? She's asking about that. That was the best $16 I ever spent.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes. I also want to make another point too. You'll notice that my phone is up higher. If I put it on my desk, here's the view that you get, and it's more, you know, up my nose. And so I just set it up a little higher, and you can use anything. Mine's actually sitting on a shoebox. So anyhow, I have a little stool next to my desk, and I have a shoebox on top of the stool, and then I set my phone up there, and it gives me a little bit better angle. And for those of us that are a little more self-conscious and a little older, you know, you want to get rid of some of this. If you have your phone up a little higher where your chin is tipped down a little bit, you get rid of the double chin thing here. You're not looking up your nose, and your eyes are more open. If I'm back this way, then you see all of this up my nose, and my eyes look squinty because of the angle of the camera. So you want to just kind of lean a little, you want to lean into your call. Mm. So if you lean into your call, it actually changes your appearance on the screen. So anyhow, I'll just mention those are just little tips and tricks that you can use. And again, it's fun to just open up a Zoom call when no one else is on it and just play around with it and get comfortable with your technology. So are all of those tips and tricks helpful for everyone?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right.
Good day.
Perfect. Perfect. Yes. So this has been a great learning experience. Angela, thank you so much. You did a wonderful job. Looking forward and to your last session to see how you tie it all together. You are traveling. You indicated you weren't quite sure where you were going to be or how you were going to be. So take out your phone.
Mm-hmm.
We're all done. Everyone on Zoom gets your own little Zoom room code that, mm-hmm. you know, you can always jump into at any time. Just open up a call with just you and, you know, and just play around with it and get comfortable with using your phone and see what it looks like. And then you can even hit the recording button and practice that. And then you can come back and listen and watch and see what you like about yourself the best, about where you were sitting or how you were holding your phone or whatever. And again, if I'm going to just hold my phone in my hand, if I hold it at an angle up like mm-hmm. this, it's a great angle because when you look up, see how much wider my eyes are. Whereas if I hold it down here, you see the difference on how I look compared to how I look on the camera. And so there's all kinds of things that you can do to, you know, to just be more comfortable with your call. And if you're going to hold your phone in your hand, if you're in the car traveling, then you just want to have a way to rest your arm. And it doesn't matter, just as long as you have a way to rest your arm so that you're not having this as you're recording moving all around. You can just rest your elbow somewhere and then your camera stays stationary, even if you're going to hold it in your hand. But it does get a little tiring if you're doing a whole hour that way, if you're going to hold it, which is why I like my stand. So I even have my cup holder in my car from the same company, and I put my phone in my cup holder in my car and then set the cup holder up on the dash.
Nice.
And so there's all kinds of little trips and ticks and all kinds of ways to get the job done and make it look good on recording once you're done. So, but play around with it and then watch the recording, and that way you'll know what you like.
Thank you. I sure will practice.
All right. Perfect. With that, I think we are going to go. This has been a great session, and I appreciate everyone coming on today. So thank you, and we will see you next month.
Yes. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.